I understand the expectation that today's Cut the Clutter episode should be about what happened on the Capitol Hill. Many of you have also written to me asking for it. And you know what? Your word is my command. So we are talking about what happened on the Capitol Hill and the implications. Now, I know that most of you are very aware, very well aware of what happened. We watched those videos. You watched commentary, social media, etc. So let me see what are the points of clutter here. What are the complications and what questions remain and what are the implications, which I am trying to answer. Now, the person with whom I'd like to begin this episode is a man called Marco Rubio. Now, Marco Rubio is 49, very conservative, senior Republican senator. You might remember that he had also thrown his hat in the ring for the presidential nomination for Republican Party in 2015-16 when Trump was contesting. In fact, he lost to Trump in one of the early primaries and then withdrew. Very young then, very young, promising, very conservative. In fact, if you look at his Twitter page, look at his profile, it says, believes in God, believes in Christ, and says, sanctioned by China twice, banned from traveling to China, etc., etc. So, very right-wing, as Republican can be. He also had shown some sympathy for Trump's charges as yet. That election process was doubtful. Now, what did he say when this trouble was taking place on Capitol Hill? So last night our time, late night our time, or maybe early hours this morning, just after midnight our time, he tweeted, and his tweet drew a lot of attention. He tweeted, I'm reading it, there is nothing patriotic about what is occurring on Capitol Hill. This is third world style anti-American anarchy. Now, this drew attention for two reasons. One, obviously, because he's a very right-wing, very conservative Republican senator saying this, and Trump would have seen this as a letdown. But also because of his use of the third word anarchy as his imagery. So immediately, there was a pushback from a lot of people saying that, look, a lot of the third world countries actually have more peaceful transition of power than this. So this was something that happened in America that shamed America. Today, he made amends for this. So once again, I saw a clip and I will share it with you because he's tweeted it. The clip of his short speech in the Congress on election results, basically certifying Biden's victory. In that, he said, look, what's gone on here? I'm not somebody who loves China. Chinese have banned me and sanctioned me twice. I can't even travel to China. And then he goes on to say, not that I'm planning to travel there anytime soon. So he clears up his credentials and he says, having said that, I am a senator from Florida. How can I accept this? I am of Cuban origin. And he explains his third world comment. He says that my grandfather lived in Cuba. He was born in 1899. And then he goes on to say, in his lifetime, he spent 60 years in Cuba. He saw one contested election. After the contested election, there was an armed insurrection. After that armed insurrection, many presidents took office, were thrown out and went into exile. And finally, the country ended up with a Marxist dictatorship. That's the reason a lot of the Cubans left and came to America and settled mostly in Florida. He's a senator from Florida. So he says, I was referring to that. That is what I meant when I said third world style anarchy. That these are things that do not work for America. This is a shameful thing. And he said, look, back in Beijing, the Chinese are laughing. In fact, he uses the expression high-fiving. The Ayatollah is laughing that, see, the great Satan, America, has been exposed. Putin is laughing. In fact, while this was going on, even I had tweeted at that point that Putin, Xi Jinping, and Kim Jong-un must be laughing their guts out because this is America that lectures all those countries and the rest of the world about democracy and liberal and democratic values. And then Marco Rubio goes on to say, America is not its government. America is not its president or the Congress. America is a family. It's a faith. It's a community. And he said, people don't understand that. And that is why we are going so wrong. And he says, politics has made us crazy. So I use this in some detail because he is a man of the right and he's a man of the conservative right. So this has embarrassed everybody. Now, having said that, let me also tell you how things happen in the third world. There are lots of problems in the third world. In fact, if you see those pictures which have now become, I hate that word, iconic, but they are truly, literally iconic because they will now be imprinted in our memory. These are these people scaling the walls of Capitol Hill. They remind you so much of the Pakistani soldiers of the famous 111 Brigade, or I think that's what it's called, in Islamabad, which is pulled out anytime a coup has to take place. And all coups in Pakistan are bloodless because they are waiting for a coup. So in fact, you can see this tweet from Naila Inayat, who also writes a column for us. She's a real person. Contrary to what some people in Pakistan have been speculating. So she put out this tweet showing you the two pictures. So this is a picture actually from Capitol Hill that reminds you of something that happens in some anarchic, poorer countries which are still experimenting with democracy. But to give you a contrary example, I know that self-referencing is not a good thing, and self-referencing in terms of your using your own country as a reference can be perilous, because sometimes you don't know what might lie ahead in the future, but you can take strength from what happened in the past. So a lot of people said that Indira Gandhi lost her election in 1977. If she wanted, she could have said, people are with me, election has been rigged, and she could have carried on, but she did not do it, she resigned. The fact is that she lost by quite large numbers. It would have been very difficult for her to do that. So the example I prefer about India on peaceful, orderly transition is 2004. In 2004 elections, Mr. Vajpayee's BJP ended up with 138 seats, 138 Lok Sabha seats. How much did Congress get? We all know that Congress led the government after that. UPA came into power and Congress was in power for 10 years after that. In that election, BJP got 138, Congress got 145. They were just 7 seats above the BJP. Now, did the BJP then try, because they were in power, Vajpayee had personal popularity, UPA or Congress had not put up any candidate against him. Did Vajpayee, Advani, others then try to use the powers that they had to somehow swing the result of that election? No, they did not do that. They accepted defeat almost on day one, knowing that it wasn't going to be possible for them to form a coalition. So in America also, for 200 years, such a thing has not happened. So this, what happened now, is an aberration. Now, all of you know details of what happened. All of you also know how Donald Trump was tweeting when this was going on Capitol Hill. He was instigating them. He was calling them patriots. He was sending them I love you messages. Even when he said go home, he said, I love you. You are patriots. This election has been stolen from us. So much so that you had this incredible spectacle of Twitter and Facebook banning the president of America for now, right? In fact, Twitter has told him that unless he deletes 3 of his more controversial tweets or unacceptable tweets, they will not reopen his account. Now, you can imagine, like, a fish can't survive without water. Can Trump survive without Twitter? But it has come to this, that 2 weeks before he lays down his office, for 2 weeks, he's still the president of America. Twitter has suspended his account, Facebook has suspended his account, YouTube has taken out the video which was on which he instigated his people, his mobs. And these are people from middle America who vote for him. This is a very polarized country. A lot of people voted for him. More than 7 crore people voted for him. And it also tells you that a lot of them believe that the election was stolen. So this is also, this also hits at the popular faith in the electoral and democratic system. So it's a serious thing. So see what Biden said after this. Biden said that at best, leaders can inspire, at worst, leaders incite. So that's what happened. Trump incited. Then he said, Biden said, this is not dissent. This is disorder, chaos and it borders on sedition. In fact, I was watching this on CNN through the night, and I can tell you the number of times I've heard the word sedition since last night on mainstream American media and from American public figures, it exceeds the number of cases that Yogi Adityanath's government in Uttar Pradesh filed using sedition as a charge against people in the state. I know it's not a laughing matter, because to say something is one thing, but to use such a serious section of the laws to arrest somebody and deny them their liberty is a much more serious problem. So I'm not making a joke of it. But the fact is that who had thought that in American public discourse you will have the idea of sedition or seditious behavior or treason coming up like this? Four people died, many more got injured, many were arrested. You saw these really incredible pictures of, I told you about the one where people are scaling the wall, but also people trying to break into the main hall of the main congressional hall, breaking its window panes, policemen, plain clothed policemen inside drawing up their guns, ready to shoot. These are things that you thought only existed in movies. Somebody in fancy dress sat on the chairman's seat. Somebody dressed like a Viking is walking around. It's almost like, in fact, if you weren't sure that these were real events, you would have thought this had come out of some new sequel in the Borat series, and Sacha Baron Cohen had enacted these great, incredible scenes. The fact is that what happened in real life in America has stolen a march over Sacha Baron Cohen as well. So this was deeply embarrassing. Now, what implications will it have? So first of all, the other thing you are hearing about a great deal now is the 25th Amendment. So what is the 25th Amendment? 25th Amendment is a provision in American Constitution whereby Vice President can take over as the President, can substitute the President, living President, as the President for his duties, if he and more than half the members of the President's cabinet come to the conclusion that the President is unfit to govern. Now, it's a procedure, so they arrive at that finding, then they send it to the President. President has a right of reply. If the President decides to contest it, then it goes to the Congress, and Congress has to then vote with 2/3 majority to decide if they want to turn the President out and hand over the power in his remaining tenure or for that moment or for the time being to the Vice President. The important thing is, until the Congress does that, Vice President remains in power. So that is the provision that there is a talk of invoking, because Trump has still got 2 weeks, and God knows what will he do if he's really lost his composure like this, and if he's really leading an insurrection against his own state, then can you trust a man like that with the nuclear button or with anything else that he might do? Because in the American system, the President has the full power till the afternoon of 20th of January. So this thought has come up. I'm not sure they will go through with this, but we don't know because a lot of people are talking about it. Some people in Trump's own group also seem to be very uneasy about what's going on. There's a story on Bloomberg, which I'm sharing with you, which actually it suggests that some key people, including his national security advisor and his deputy, that's Robert O'Brien, his deputy NSA Matt Pottinger, and assistant to the President Chris Little, are all thinking of resigning now. Because if that starts, then you might even have a 25th Amendment kind of situation. Now, just because it's interesting history, how did this amendment get codified? This got codified in 1967, approximately 4 years after Kennedy's assassination. And the argument was that if Kennedy had not died, suppose he had been invalided by the bullet, then who would have run the administration? Suppose he was not in a good enough shape to run the administration, who would have done it? So that is how this amendment was codified in 1967. It has remained there since then. There have been occasions when US presidents voluntarily have handed over to the Vice President while they went into some surgical procedures and all that. George W. Bush, for example, had twice handed over to his Vice President, 2002 and 2007. when he was put under anesthesia for routine colonoscopies. And also Ronald Reagan, he went for a cancer surgery. I think he had some cancerous tissue inside his nose. When that happened, he also handed over to his vice president. But those things are routine, but this power exists in case the question comes up as to what is this magical thing called 25th Amendment. Now, implications going ahead, people will laugh at America for some time and everybody will think that they are better than America. But the fact is that that system, you have to complement that system, that institutions there have stood firm. Even the Republican Party finally has stood firm. Senior people in the Republican Party have stood firm. Lindsey Graham, who's been Trump's buddy, partner in so many of his crimes, even he stood up. I watched last night before the chaos started, and even he said enough is enough. We have to now accept that this election is done. So even the Republican Party has shown that they have a conscience. And I think the biggest implication this will have internally in America is that this will set up a churn within the Republican Party. So this impression that even I had earlier, and I wrote about it, that Trump may go, but Trumpism will remain. In fact, this conduct by Trump's mobs and the role he has played in instigating these mobs may actually discourage those elements in the Republican Party or those elements on the American right who may have wanted to make Trumpism a new ideology for the American right. So I think this churn in the Republican Party will be very interesting. And if conservatives like Rubio and many others again unite and rediscover their conservative core, because whatever you might say, Trump was an outsider. Trump was not a part of that core. Then it will be good for American politics. It will also be good for global stability. Because you don't want the rise of one more demagogue like Donald Trump, who upsets everything, who's for 3.5 years out of his 4, he was tougher on his allies than on his adversaries. It was only in the last 6 months that he got angry with China and took much action against the Chinese. Not so far. He was scolding the Germans, the French, the British, South Koreans, the Japanese. He was letting down his allies. And it had a lot of countries in the world wondering if they could take America at its word as an ally, friend, or even as a sovereign country. And you want to see how unstable, how destabilizing Trump was. Look at the turnover in his key team. His turnover in his entire team was 91%, which is the highest for any recent American president. Although they have high turnovers, particularly two-term presidents, but for a one-term president, 91% is very high. Even for two-term presidents, it's usually about 80% max, 91%. But if you look at the key people in his cabinet that the rest of the world deals with, that is National Security Advisor, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, White House Chief of Staff, all those have changed all the time. If you look at his NSAs, how many of them have become controversial? There was Michael Flynn, who only lasted 22 days. He was his appointee. He was not somebody that Trump inherited. He lasted 22 days, went out in controversy, was prosecuted. There was General H.R. McMaster, John Bolton, both of you left in the course of time, and both of them turned adversaries of Trump. In fact, Bolton wrote that nasty book about Trump. And then Robert O'Brien, who, if reports now are correct, is getting uneasy about continuing even for 2 more weeks. CIA had 2 chiefs, Mike Pompeo and Gina Haspel, but not too bad because Mike Pompeo then became Secretary of State, replacing somebody, Rex Tillerson, who had been removed completely unceremoniously. And when Trump removed these people, he didn't even say a thank you. He only said rude, offensive things about them, and that is why they became adversaries. And that added to the sense of instability in Washington. In fact, you want to see instability? Look at his White House chiefs of staff. And that tells you that Trump was not easy to babysit. Reince Priebus, 192 days. John Kelly, 1 year, 154 days. Mick Mulvaney, 1 year, 89 days. Mark Meadows, 282 days. He's still around. And I'm not even counting those who officiated for a few days or who were acting now and then. So, in a way, it is good that the Trump era has ended, and it also might be good. I know lives have been lost. It might be good in the larger public good, in the larger good of the world, that it has ended the way it has ended. Because what has happened in the end, it has drawn so much shame and embarrassment on America that it has highlighted to them the downside of electing a demagogue like Trump just because he seems to be anti-establishment, just because he seems to like to disrupt and you enjoy it, that there is a serious downside to it which is systemic and which is organic. And that is the lesson for the rest of the world also. So the positive takeaway that I will take from this, one, that finally Trump is accepting that there will be an orderly transition, and second, that this will be a chastening experience for voters and democracies around the world, that there is a downside, there is a big risk, that it is very tempting to elect demagogues. It is very seductive to have demagogues as your leaders. But that can get you into serious trouble. And when you get stuck in serious mud like that, like America did yesterday, that is on Thursday, then your institutions may or may not be as strong as they are in America to pull you out of it.